We're talking about the complexities of tracing African-American genealogy here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Maybe you've seen the Ancestry.com commercials enticing you to discover your story. Here is one of those testimonials. It's Brian Ferguson of North Carolina.
I discovered that I'm more than just an African-American. I am part Native American, part Scots, Irish. I'm a proud member of a new modern extended family.
But for African Americans, searching these genealogy sites can be difficult, especially before the 1870 census. It was the first one to include African Americans by name. Are you a person of color who is searching your roots? What are you exploring? Have you hit a dead end? We're at 800-642-1234. Lori Bessler is a genealogy specialist in the Wisconsin Historical Society's Library, Archives, and Museum Collections Division. She's been researching family histories for nearly 40 years. Lori, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So it is Black History Month, but for African Americans, tracing a family history can be really challenging. It can also be really painful. What kind of obstacles do African Americans encounter in this research?
You know, I think one of the first things that they encounter is feeling like, if I even try, I'm not going to find very much, and it's just not true. There's so many records that could be found on everybody's family history, but especially those groups that go into it thinking, well, they probably didn't document much about my family, and yet they did. There are a lot of things to find.
Where should African Americans start when they want to trace their family history and really dig into this?
What you do when you're doing anybody's genealogy is you start with what you already have, and that is family stories, documents that your family may have kept, all of that. And then you put that information into charts, into family group sheets, into pedigree charts, so that it shows you what are you missing, what do you have, and what do you missing. One of the key things that you have to watch for when you're doing genealogical research is you need to know name, date, and place, because a lot of the records you're going to try and find will be relying on you knowing where are you going to have to try and find this record, what time period are you researching, and, of course, then the names that you're researching. And so doing that research at home, talking to people first, is really going to be key, especially, again, with those groups who may not have, in the end, may not have as many documents out there. You're really relying on the family history that came down through the lines. And then it's just really starting with that kind of thing. Then when you go to the records, you're working from the present to the past. So one of the records you're really going to focus on that you see people like Dr. Henry Louis Gates using in his series, Finding Your Roots, which is on WPR.
Yes.
Or WPT, rather.
PBS and Wisconsin,
so,
yeah.
Exactly. So what you do is you find them in censuses. Now, the United States have done censuses so from 1790 to the present. This is a census year. What we have available to us to look at is only from 1940 going back. So if people know where their grandparents or their great-grandparents were in 1940, then you can leapfrog every 10 years going back, 1940, then back to 1930. And what you're seeing are listings of families. So once you find your great-grandfather in the 1940 census as a five-year-old, then you can say, okay, well, he's living with his parents or his aunts and uncles or whoever he's living with. You've identified more people to put on that tree. And so censuses are really key, plus the other questions they ask in the census give you even more ideas of what it was to be in that family.
We're discussing African-American genealogy. Tracing a History, our guide is Lori Bessler. She's a genealogy specialist from the Wisconsin Historical Society. You can join in this hour at any point. Have you tried tracing your genealogy through family records, through census documents, or perhaps DNA services? What materials did you find the most useful? What did you find most surprising? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Lori, you point out that there isn't a single narrative for African Americans. It can't be assumed that all African Americans were enslaved. Can you tell us more about branching out from a common narrative?
What you do is you don't look at the common narrative. You let the records show you your story. Okay, so when you find you've gone back, like in the example I was giving in the censuses, and you actually find one of the family members who's African-American who shows up in the 1860 census, that means they were a free person, because that's the only people they list in the 1860 census. And so, like I said, in Dr. Gates' series, he's pointed that out numerous times, that there are people who are going back, taking their family back, and that's where the narrative is showing them, hey, actually, I have someone who had been freed by 1860. And then he uses other types of records, if you notice, and the strategy, one of the main strategies that you use when you're dealing with people who have been enslaved is that you look at the slaveholders' history, their paper trail, their journals, their diaries, but most importantly, their probate files. Because a lot of times slaves are listed in those probate files. So that's one of the strategies you'll see.
So wills and probate records, deeds, plantation records, things like that?
Yes, deeds and plantation records. Now, plantation records are a little bit more difficult to find. There is a big series we have on microfilm in the library, in the Wisconsin Historical Society, called the Antebellum Plantation Records. And so they cover many plantations throughout the South, but not all, okay? So that's one of the issues. But wills and probates can actually be fairly easy to find. Land deeds also. I call them land deeds, but they're really property deeds. And so when a person is transferring the property ownership of a slave from one person to another, I've seen one where a slave was transferred between two sisters. And there was a deed that explained that transfer.
Is it recommended, Lori, that you perhaps take a trip to the area where the plantation was to search local records at local libraries? How important is it to get closer to local records?
You know, doing genealogical research or family history research, you can go as far as you want to go. There's always going to be another step to take. And so what I tell people is that the paper trail is held at many different places. Some of it is online at places like you said, Ancestry.com or the Latter-day Saints website, FamilySearch.org. There's FindAGrave.com that documents a lot of burial places. That one is a volunteer-based one. But you also have a lot of places that are museums and historical societies at the state level, at the local level. All of them have a possibility of having something that could explain more about your family history. At a local historical society, it could be that they have their own museum. It could be that they have a local history room in the public library in that community. And so, yes, if it's a possibility to travel, that's usually a really good experience of being able to really be in that location where the family was. That's an emotional experience, and I think it's well worth the trip.
We are we're exploring the African American genealogy experience with Lori Bessler as our guide. She is the genealogy and local history specialist with the Wisconsin Historical Society. You can join in at any point here. How many generations back were you able to trace your family roots? What records did you find the most useful? Where did your trail seem to end? And then what did you do? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Lori Bessler right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about researching Black ancestry here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. Maybe you've watched the PBS show Finding Your Roots with Henry Louis Gates Jr. Here he is in the new season 6, sitting across from musician Questlove at that moment of reckoning, presenting his book of life.
You are the only African-American I've ever met who could name the ship.
I've been waiting for this all my life. I'm not going to cry.
Like so many black people, my guests grew up wondering about the lives of their enslaved ancestors.
Are you a person of color searching for your ancestors? Where are you at on this journey? What have you documented? What resources are most helpful? Join in with your questions, your insights, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. The Wisconsin Historical Society's genealogy specialist, Lori Bessler, stays with us. Lori, we just heard there, Finding Your Roots with Henry Louis Gates Jr. I understand you're a huge fan of this show. Discovering your family's roots can be a really emotional experience, and we feel that tension in this show. Why is it so powerful?
I think because we don't know necessarily the full story, and we're trying to know that national narrative. How did our people actually connect to that national narrative? And so I think when you start hearing what those stories are, when you watch these people start hearing their own stories, it's so eye-opening, and I think it's almost a comfort for them to know, hey, this is where my actual story is. This is how I fit in.
After the Civil War, there was a government agency called the Freedmen's Bureau that was set up to help thousands of former slaves who had been liberated. What kind of records did it keep that might help people in searching their family?
Well, it's interesting. Those are they're held online in a couple of different places. Family Search, Ancestry, the National Archives website, archives.gov, has a great article and content in there as well about that bureau. And so what that bureau did is it gave relief, it gave support, and so you have people would go to that bureau and get help with setting up contracts, work contracts. They would get relief as far as food and other support like that. So they went there to qualify or to have their marriages recognized, and so there are marriage contracts or marriage records in those files, and so it's one of those governmental collections which can be overwhelming in some ways. I always encourage people to read the background first so they understand what is this group of records actually going to show me.
It was also called Freedmen's Saving and Trust Company or Freedmen's Bank.
Yes, that was a part of that whole bureau. And so you had people who would be able to put their money into that bank, and that there are documents that reflect who that was who put money there. So, yeah, they can be a complicated record, but they are able to be used for genealogical purposes.
And this is searchable online?
Yes, in a couple of places. It's not one single place that you're going to find these records. That's one thing about governmental records is that a place like Ancestry will negotiate with the contract with the government and say, well, what will you allow us to put on our website? Family Search will do another group of those records. So there's some duplication. There's some areas of that collection that are not online yet. They are held by the National Archives, so they hold all of the records for that bureau. And so they're in a couple of different places. But that's what a librarian and archivist can help people with as well. And we certainly do that with people at the Historical Society.
We talked earlier about the 1860 census listing free African Americans, and the 1870 census was the first to include more detailed information about African Americans. What kind of information is in this historical census in 1870?
So 1870, basically, it's the population schedule that everybody was included in, no matter what race they were. And so they are including information of the name of the person, the place they're born, meaning the state, their age at the time of the census, information like that, how much income they have, how much is real estate, how much is personal estate, down to like ranges of financial numbers, $700 worth of personal estate, something like that. As you go up to the 1880 census, they ask few more questions, where are your parents born, that kind of thing. And then as you get to 1900 and go forward, there's a lot more questions. 1930 asks if they own a radio, which is interesting, you know. So, and then in 1940, they ask, where were you living 5 years ago in 1935? Because they're trying to track, because of the Depression, where were people 5 years before that 1940 census?
Oh, because people migrating elsewhere in the country as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The period during and right after the Civil War is really key for genealogists. In 1860, nearly 4 million enslaved people lived in the U.S. Why is this transitional period really important for genealogy researchers?
You know, I think it is that national narrative. It's that really big part of African-American history, which is what slavery is. It is the biggest question, I think, for a lot of people is, how was my family affiliated with this horrendous situation, or better, more than a situation? So how was my family connected to that? And so I think a lot of people, like I said in the beginning, you really need to work your way back to that point to really understand, who are we talking about? Where was your family at the time? In order to introduce yourself into that era. But yeah, I think that's what makes it such an important part of what people are aiming to find out.
We're getting tips on researching African-American family histories. Lori Bessler is a genealogy specialist from the Wisconsin Historical Society. And you can join in. How did tracing your family history help you understand more about who you are? Where are you in your search? What questions do you have for Lori? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Lori, let's take a moment to look at military history. How do you trace Wisconsin's African-American soldiers in the Civil War? What are the records like for people of color in that era?
Well, so you have the colored troops, and a lot of those records do show up online. At the Historical Society, we subscribe to Fold 3, which is it's actually owned by Ancestry, but it is its own entity as well online. And so Fold 3 has the actual enlistment papers of the colored troops, and it shows by name what infantry or what unit they were actually involved in, which colored troops were they involved in. And then also you can find some general histories of those infantries. A lot of times there are infantry histories that we have collected as well at the Historical Society. Most of those were published just shortly after the war, or between the war and about 1900, and so they really do cover the good detail of where did those troops go, what activities were they involved in.
Aside from government records and other official census data, what are other big resources that we might not think about when researching African American history?
So you have a lot of local historians doing a lot of wonderful work, okay? So you have identified where your family is located in whatever state, in whatever county, at whatever time. You should be checking to see if any county histories have been written, any documentation like everybody buried in this one cemetery. Could be a book that is out there, as well as something that might be online. And so looking at those local history kind of collections. Now, at Wisconsin Historical, we have been collecting these types of resources since the 1850s. Okay, so we have a really wonderful collection. You can find our collection in the online catalog, library.wisc.edu, which is what shows you what's on the UW-Madison campus. That's where we're located. But you can also go to worldcat.org and find out what county histories or local histories or genealogical publications are actually out there at other libraries around the world. And so you can find out, you know, what do they have for, I don't know, Caddo Parish, Louisiana, for a county history or for a genealogical publication.
How important are newspapers, old newspapers?
Newspapers are incredibly important because, published at the time that our ancestors were living in that community, it's telling us what's going on in that community. It's also one of the important things when you're doing genealogical work. when you're starting with the current generations and moving backwards, you're going to look for them in every census. You're going to find every birth, marriage, and death record you can on each person in the family, because these have lots of clues. But you're also going to find their obituary in the newspapers. Now, with African-American communities, what you're dealing with is that a lot of times the mainstream newspaper may not have the obituary, but an African-American publication that's in a nearby city could have an obituary in it. So there's another strategy that African-Americans may be using to find those resources, like obituaries.
Lori Bessler is our guide. She's a genealogy and history specialist at the Wisconsin Historical Society. She's with us as we explore the ways to research African-American genealogy. With you as well, do you have questions about where to begin your family tree search? Did you trace your family's history and get stuck? Did you find something surprising or perhaps upsetting? Join in, be part of this, 800-642-1234. We'll be back for more with Lori Bessler on researching African-American ancestors, locating records of slave ancestors prior to emancipation. That's right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. We're exploring African-American genealogy here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Genealogists say researching Black ancestry is a challenge, and one message resonates in the PBS series Finding Your Roots with Henry Louis Gates Jr. That is, there is no universal African-American narrative. Here's filmmaker Ava DuVernay in the new season.
There is this kind of singularity of narrative around African-Americans in slavery, that there is this kind of shared,
right.
You were brought here from the continent on slave ships and you landed somewhere,
right.
Probably in the South, and there was this, you know, this long line of, but there, slavery, A, touched many different parts of the world beyond the United States.
Slavery is the oldest civilization.
Yeah.
Are you a person of color who wants to trace your family's history? Where do you start? Have you traced your family's roots and found a surprise? Join in, 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Historical Society genealogist Lori Bessler stays with us through the hour. So, Lori, if you're researching your family tree and you seem to hit a dead end, you just can't get around it, what do you suggest that you do?
I suggest people call us at Wisconsin Historical Society, because we can have a consultation. I do phone consultations with people across the country. And so what I do is I talk to them and say, okay, what have you found? Where did you find that? Where did you look if you didn't find something? And I can explain the process, the actual, okay, you looked, excuse me, you looked here, but there's these other places to look too. This is what's online, that's great, but the rest of the collection's at this institution over here. And so helping them come up with a research plan. There's only been one time in my 20-plus years of doing this that I could not find another place for someone to look. And so there's usually some place.
A branch of your family was connected to a plantation in Louisiana. What was it like for you tracing your roots to a slaveholding discovery?
I am still experiencing this, because as you go through this family history, you go to those initial questions, and then you go to the next step of questions, and the next, to go deeper and deeper. And so, yeah, it is. It's frustrating to run across that in your family history, that you had people who are directly related to you and not even that far back in our history that had such a horrible connection to that institution. But on the same end, a lot of people have found then also, I have northern people who were on the Underground Railroad. And so I have such an interesting, you know, connection to this, the history of this country. And most of us have this. So most of us can connect to something in our history, in the bigger picture, that is going to tell us a little bit more about where we came from and where we are now because of that. So, yeah, it's been a journey with me as well.
Your historical society is one of the top repositories for genealogy. What do you offer the public for genealogy? What resources are there?
So our collections are one of the biggest parts, okay? Because our scope is, we're called the Wisconsin Historical Society, but our scope is North American. And so we have Canadian. We have resources from every single state. And so that's a pretty rare thing for a state historical society to hold. Our newspaper collection is second only to the Library of Congress. We have a lot of those African-American newspapers from around the country on microfilm or in original format, as well as subscribing. Because we're on the UW-Madison campus, we get access to a lot of subscriptions that they maintain as a library. And so that's part of it. But it's also our staff. Our staff has been with our collection for a very long time. I've been with the society close to 35 years now. And my predecessor, Jim Hansen, had been there 40 years. And so we know these collections. Our outreach, as far as, like I mentioned, doing consultations, I do them in person and by phone. But also we have lots of workshops. Now, next fall, we will be having Tony Burrows, who has also been on some of these TV shows, coming and doing a workshop, a full-day workshop. So we have those posted on our website.
Well, let's take a call now. Margo is with us from Madison. Hi, Margo.
Hi. My call has to do with the comment your interviewee made a moment ago about have you come up against any barriers in your genealogical research? And I got pretty far with my research. I was able to trace my ancestor back to immigrating here in 1643
Wow.
and settling among the Dutch. However, I can't identify what town he came from in England, and I'm wondering if there are consults that you can hire to help you when you've come up against a barrier. Does the State Historical Society provide a service for a fee or whatever if you're trying to? I was told the best thing to do is check ship logs to see if anybody by that name in that year came over on a certain boat. But a lot of the records were destroyed when King Charles was beheaded and Cromwell took power. And that was the year that my ancestor fled England.
Margot, thank you so much for the call. Lori, what would you suggest?
Well, I would suggest definitely having a consultation with me first by phone. There is no charge for that, or in person since you're in Madison. But certainly the ship's lists really are not the same. After 1820, you have better ship lists, passenger lists. Before 1820, the documentation is in so many different places. There's Philby's collection of passenger and immigration lists that covers a lot of that earlier time period, too. But certainly having a consultation. Now, we do maintain a list of researchers who are in the local area who will meet with you for a fee and can dive deeper into these kinds of questions. But I would suggest contacting me first in case there's resources that I can tell you about without charging you. So,
Lori, what kind of records are available today for ship logs and for ships that carried slaves?
Not very many, because they're not documenting people, they're documenting property. And so you don't have that kind of listing of every single person who came in on this slave ship. What you do have are documents left by the captains of those ships or by the slaveholders or the newspapers that explain about this ship coming in with a shipload of people. So you have those kinds of things. You also have museums and other types of research institutions that are closer to the area than we are here up here in Wisconsin. So you have other institutions to have to investigate. And that's where I can help people as well, is to identify, okay, you're looking at ships coming into or slaves that had been held in Maryland. Let's look at what it would have been before, as what would have their journey been, okay? Where would their ancestors have come from in order to have been settled in Maryland? And so that's the kind of stuff that it can help people research.
We're discussing challenges of researching African-American family histories. Our guide is Lori Bessler. She's a genealogy specialist with the Wisconsin Historical Society. You can join in. Are you a person of color who wants to know more about your ancestors? What have been your challenges in researching family histories? What tips can you share for others starting this journey? How far back were you able to trace your family? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. Terry from Oklahoma was driving through Wisconsin this morning, couldn't stay with us, and Terry wants to know more about services like Ancestry.com and 23andMe. Aside from DNA tests, what can people get out of these services, Lori?
Well, so they can get those DNA tests, and there's two actual angles to that. There's that ethnicity estimate, which is kind of interesting and everything, and sometimes with 23andMe especially, you can get some health stuff. But one of the things that you do with the DNA is you're making connections to other people who share that DNA. And so having that connection with the network of other people who are related to you can sometimes help with the research, contacting them and asking them what they've found, where have they looked, that kind of thing. 23andMe does not have records, per se. They don't do the paper trail. They're strictly DNA. With Ancestry.com and FamilySearch and these other websites, they do have records. And so it's important to understand how do you go into those websites and really understand what they do have and, more importantly, what they don't have. Because places like Ancestry, they have incredibly good marketing, and it makes it sound like they have it all, but they don't. There are definitely holes in there. All of the census work, yes, use Ancestry. And use Ancestry Library Edition at your public library so that you don't have to subscribe to use that big resource that all of us need to use.
Oh, a local library would have that subscription already.
Many, many public libraries do, yes.
What other free resources are often available besides calling up the Historical Society?
So there are other websites, for instance, like Find a Grave. Awesome place. A lot of volunteer work being done. What you do is you go to findagrave.com and put in a person's name. If another person has put in a memorial page on that person, they could have things like dates of death, dates of birth, place of death, but also pictures of the gravestones. There are a lot of volunteers who are just obsessed with trying to document everybody buried in those local cemeteries, and that's a great place. Then also, like I said, Ancestry, there's so many different websites. Looking at the local public library, contacting them, looking at local historical societies, and you're just Googling for that. Or like I said, if you want help with that, that's something I can help with as well, is locating those. There are a lot of groups that are special interest groups. In the Dane County area, we have the Dane County Area Genealogical Society. So they meet on a regular basis. They have discussions with. So you're in a room full of researchers giving ideas to each other for free.
We have Lori Bessler at our side this hour as we explore the process of locating African-American ancestors. Lori is a longtime genealogy researcher at the Wisconsin Historical Society. What would you like to know about your ancestors? Tell us what resources you've used when tracing your family's history. What made all the difference? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Lori Bessler right here on the Ideas Network. We're spending the hour on African-American genealogy research here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. There are collections straight across the country that we've learned about compiling information on African-Americans in census records. Other avenues for research, church records, black newspapers, military records. Here in Wisconsin, the State Historical Society's collection contains more than 4 million items. So what questions do you have about your journey in tracing your roots? Are you working with other family members? Are you interviewing loved ones who are up in age? How are you building your family tree? What questions do you have for the genealogist? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. The Wisconsin Historical Society's longtime genealogy researcher, Lori Bessler, stays with us. Lori, we're talking there about genealogy services before the break. Are there any services that specifically specialize in helping African Americans research their families?
Well, you know, it's basically our reference team, and we handle a lot of different angles to genealogy. And so we don't really have a person who is specializing in each of these separate groups. We all work with a lot of different types of ethnic backgrounds, and so or special family history groups. And so a lot of us can help someone along this line. One thing that we didn't point out, though, is how to contact us at Wisconsin Historical Society, and that's that you can email asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org or call us. We actually like to get phone calls at 608-264-6535, and what you're going to do is talk to a reference librarian. If you want to be able to meet with me, you just email us, and we set up a time so that it's, you know, blocked off on my calendar so I'm not interrupted, and we can have that phone consultation or an in-person consultation.
There's one resource called Afrogenius. What is that resource?
That is a website. There are lots of different websites out there that will run by a person who is saying, hey, I know a lot of great websites to go to. I know a lot of great resources that are out there. Afrogenius is one of them. There's also one, and it's run by Christine or Christy. I can't remember what it is, but there are different sites like that. So there are people out there saying, hey, I know where to look. Here's where I go, and these are my experiences. So that's also very, most of those are free websites, too.
Let's go to John now in Green Bay. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Talking about being frustrating, I've been trying to locate the death of a great uncle in the mining area. He was a miner just before 1900. And I have called the Royal Mounted Police. I've talked to people up in the Yukon, British Columbia, and I just can't find when this guy was killed. He was murdered for his gold.
What kind of death records, Lori, are available going as far back as 1900 and specifically in mining?
Well, in mining, so he's talking in the Yukon. So what you would do is you would find out when did that state, that entity, governmental entity, create civil death records. That's one thing. Then also the government may have reports on who was murdered, who was killed in a mining accident, and so those are records that the government may have created as well. And then you also have burial records if they were affiliated with any church, and a church is a different entity than the government, and so they may have a paper trail to find. There may be something in the local newspaper. So you got four different places so far to look. The exact place for this specific question, that's where I would have to go online and find out exactly what the contact information of who holds these different records. But that's what I do.
John,
that's how I show people where to find things.
Yeah, John, thanks for the call. Let's go to Amy now in New London. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I was just wanting to bring up the fact that there, that back in the 30s, the WPS actually had a project where they sent people out to interview former slaves, and the Wisconsin State Historical Society, at least up to maybe 15 years ago, the last time I looked, has that collection. It's multi-volume and many, many volumes. And it would be a wonderful resource for people doing black genealogy who want to create a picture of what their ancestors' lives were like. And if they find their ancestor, I think they would really enjoy it. I don't know if there's an index, but you could ask Lori if there is. If there isn't an index resident in the library, there are probably people who have done an index that can be found online.
Amy, thank you. Lori, can you explain this oral history?
Yes. So the slave narratives that she was mentioning, thank you for bringing that up. The slave narratives, actually, I believe you're going to find digitized, able to listen to them, either on National Archives, archives.gov or Library of Congress, loc.gov. We do have some of those on microfilm. I do remember that. But it's going to be a lot easier to find them on the websites for the Library of Congress or the National Archives. I can't remember which one holds those. But what's important is her point to say, you know, listening to these, Even if you are not related to that one person who's being interviewed, if that one person or their story narrative comes from the region where your family was, it's really important to listen to those. I think it's also important to listen to them with your children, with the kids in your classroom, in the whatever it is, because I think that's such an important link we have to the past is the verbal that we get to hear, the audio.
How often are people able to trace their families back to specific places in Africa?
It can be pretty rare, and a lot of times it's through DNA that they're finding this out, okay? So, of course, the biggest example is Alex Haley and the works he did from his childhood on until he did the production of Roots in the 70s. That was one reason I got into genealogy is watching that series with my family I can't remember what year it came out in, but it was the mid-70s. And I remember that so specifically because we already had known the connection we had to slavery in our own personal family. So to have watched that was just an amazing experience. So for most people, it is difficult to find out exactly what, you know, a certain village or entity like that in the specific part of Africa. But it is worth your while to do the DNA testing for that as well.
What should people know about the accuracy or the nuances of DNA testing when it comes to genealogy research?
Well, one of the workshops we have coming up in May is a full day on, there's four workshops or four lectures on the basics of DNA. And they go, our speaker is Mary Eberle with DNA Hunters. She does a really good job of showing people the accuracy and the, you know, explaining the ethnicity and how it can change over time because you have a certain number of people who have done the testing, and then you have the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds or thousands of people who are still doing testing. Plus, you take the testing from one website or one DNA company to do to an, add to another DNA company's testing, and then they have a different pond of people who have done DNA testing. So it's a whole new branch of genealogical research, and it's a very important branch as well.
As we start to wrap up here, Lori, are there any new genealogy resources that you know of that are coming online that are under development that will be with us pretty soon?
You know, the Freedmen's Bureau records are fairly new, and which means that, you know, you're going to have years and years of interpretation and getting them to be more searchable. And so watching that, especially on FamilySearch.org, their collection that they're developing, I think really looking at the museum, the National Museum on African American History, has been doing an amazing job as well. So watching that entity or that collection. There's those kinds of resources that are coming up. But it's the personal narrative that I really want to encourage people to do this because it's such an amazing journey.
Lori, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Lori Bessler is the genealogy and local history specialist in the Wisconsin Historical Society's Library, Archives, and Museum Collections Division. If you missed part of our hour-long conversation with Lori about the challenges of researching African-American genealogy, you can stream, you can download this later today on our program page. Just visit wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.